welcome to the Raging Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sturgill. Join me as I interview people from all walks of life who've built successful lives, self-made millionaires, entrepreneurs, traders, authors, and experts in their chosen fields. Discover the mindset and motivation to make successful people tick and learn new ways to apply these ideas, lessons, and successes to help you build your own success to live a better life.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ben. Just kidding, Dave.
Hey, David. I'll tell you what, I'll be Ben. You can be David. How about that?
Hey, David. How are you doing? Always good to talk to you. Always good to be in conversation with you. You know, appreciate you and love when we get a chance to have these conversations.
Yeah, sure. So I thought we might take a different angle with WealthWise today. I know that when we speak with our traders, certainly when you speak with our traders, you're always interested in, you know, what wins they've had recently, what trades they're making, and ways to find trades so that, you know, we can hear how these traders have profited. But, you know, there's an old saying, I think it originally came from Persia, that in any undertaking, there are two potential profits. There are the profits of knowledge, but there's also the profit of money. And we very often focus on the profit of money. And I wanted to spend a little time focusing on the profit of knowledge, because all the Raging Bull traders say that the best investment they've ever made is actually the investment in the education behind the trading, because it's that that's led them to be able to make these profits in their trades and in their portfolios. So I wanted to take a step right back to when you first started trading and kind of work forward from there and share with us, if you will, how you got into it, how you learned and taught yourself to trade, and then we can talk a little bit more about some of the specific things that you do on a daily basis, like chart patterns and stuff like that. So all the way back, how did you get into trading? What was the first thing that gave you the impetus to start trading?
Wow. I mean, I love the question you're asking, particularly when it comes to the value of knowledge versus the value of, you know, dollars in your bank account. I think one almost always precedes the other. And if it doesn't, then one almost always departs quickly after, right? So to answer your question about how I got into it, I was a kid that grew up in the Midwest, pretty middle-class family. Both my parents were teachers, didn't make much money. I certainly wasn't poor, but, you know, just pretty average. You know, we had to think about, you know, going out and buying shoes. You know, I use as an example because I remember a moment when I was 10 where I realized something, almost life hit me, that if I was going to have a car when I was 16, I better start working for it. I don't remember if that was an explicit conversation from my father or what, but without making us feel poor, it just became clear that, you know, there was not money laying around to buy us the things that we wanted, but we had the things we needed. And so the way trading started for me was I would take on these odd jobs anywhere I could, right? Whether it be cutting grass, shoveling snow. And when I was 16, I found myself working for some family friends of ours. There's a couple that my mom taught with as a team teacher. It was the husband, and the wife was the assistant principal for my father at the middle school. So again, roughly the same type of jobs my parents had. And yet I worked for them. I saw the farm they owned. I saw the cars they drove. I saw the life they lived. And it didn't make sense to me, right? How is it that my parents we had the life we did? These, you know, great folks had the life they did. And they had roughly the same jobs. And it just, until finally I got the courage to ask, Pat and Bill Huth are the names, and say, how do you do this? Like, I'm sure it was less tactful than that. Like, why you got so much money, right? And they said, hey, we trade, we're in the markets. And I'm like, what markets? And so, I mean, from that very basic level, they said, here, we have a book for you. And they gave me a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And it for the first time gave me a concept about money and, you know, assets and liabilities. And I read it. I remember reading it like a weekend and coming back to them to work and saying, I read the whole thing. They were very impressed. And they said, well, let's talk some more. And they gave me another book by Warren Buffett. And, you know, I read that in a weekend. And so from there, they just walked me through the process from, you know, start, I wouldn't say to finish because it never finishes, but from the very start to understanding how to look for good companies, how to look for good trades, how to understand how the market moves. Of course, the problem was I didn't have any money, right? I just spent it all in my car, right? So I was mostly just paper trading in high school And then it was in college when I actually finally started to have some money from working summer jobs that I really put that you know, what I learned to the test and started trading real money. So that was really my beginning, was just by saying, hey, you know, I don't necessarily want to work for my money all the time. I want my money to work for me. How do I do that? And this was my entry into that.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of very good principles in the book you mentioned there, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that are, I guess, that helps you think like a trader, or you kind of get the consciousness, the thought process of money. How did you go from that point of having that basis and the understanding and the sort of awakened awareness of money to actually going into the markets and starting to place trades?
Boy, it was a process for me. It was a process of many years of trial and error with practice, right? With paper trading. Again, what I think is great about paper trading is that when real money is not at stake, you can have an idea, a thesis of, I think this company is going to go up because of X, Y, or Z, right? That's the process of planning your trade so you can trade your plan. And then because no money's involved and therefore no emotion is involved, you just get to see how it plays out, right? And you do that enough, and if your thesis works enough, well, then you start to have confidence that, I wonder what would happen if I actually put some money behind this. What I think too many people do without enough knowledge, education, or the ability to test a thesis or setup or idea is just throw money at something. When they lose, you know, they panic and they sell, or they hold too long when they should sell, because emotions cloud that plan. And so that was the process for me. Was I by not having money, I had, you know, the blessing of many years of just, you know, charting out trade ideas and seeing if they worked and seeing what setup works and how to get in and out of trades and at what time and for what purpose. And so that was really helpful for me. So that by the time I started to put money into things, it wasn't shooting a shot for the first time, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, my daughters and I were speaking of paper trading last night. And well, we were speaking of something else. At the moment, we're listening to an audio book. We always listen to audiobooks whenever we go 5 minutes here or half an hour there in the car. And the book we're listening to at the moment is an audiobook called Endurance, which is about Sir Ernest Shackleton, who, of course, tried to circumnavigate the Antarctic region by landing on one side of Antarctica and crossing to the other side, but his boat, the Endurance, was beset by ice and got hemmed in, and they ended up having to basically walk a long way, float on ice, and then finally take a journey, Ernest Shackleton and five companions, 800 miles across the Southern Ocean from Antarctica to South Georgia, where they then got a whaling boat and went back the 800 miles to collect their companions. And my eldest daughter said to me, if that was you, would you have rather been the one who went in the small rowing boat 800 miles to get the boat to save everyone else, or would you rather have waited? And it's a very interesting question, because you know, I started to think, and I said, well, you have to realize that my answer is only what I think now in the comfort of our car, not right, because the emotion is taken out of it. So what would I actually decide at the time would be different. And it's a little bit like paper trading, I got to thinking, because the advantage of paper trading is it teaches you at a time where you don't have to actually make the 800-mile journey across the Southern Ocean to South Georgia in a 23-foot lifeboat. So the benefit is it takes the emotion out. So how do you go from paper trading, where the emotion is taken out, to trading in the real market where the emotion is very much there? Is it that you do you do enough practice with your moves before you get into the real market that it teaches you? What's your commentary on that?
Well, I don't know that, first off, it's a great question. I don't know that you can ever take emotion out fully. I think taking emotion out, you know, if you did it fully, would make you subhuman, you know, if you will. But I find the people that are best at doing it are the people that are most practiced with it. And so, so for me, for example, I played collegiate basketball at the Division I level, but I came in as a redshirt freshman. So when you're a redshirt freshman, it means that you can practice with the team, but you don't play that first year. You can only practice. You sit out all the games. Saves a year of eligibility, so I get to play 4 years after that. But that first year was just practice. And I'll tell you what, that was such a blessing for me because, you know, you go from high school basketball to college basketball, and it's a big jump in strength and speed and skill. And to have that year of playing with my teammates day in and day out, I was still nervous when I played my first college game, but far less nervous because I'd had so much practice playing against similar competition. And so I say that to others because one of the ways I think you take it out is the more money you have on the line, right? The more emotions going to be involved. If you put your life savings in a trade, you are going to be really emotional about the outcome of that trade. But if you put a dollar in it, it's not going to be that emotional. So, you know, I think you dictate position sizing based on the emotions, you know, that come. If you start to, you know how there's that saying in exercise that if you start to experience these symptoms, stop and call your doctor, right? Like right. If you're trading and the trade goes against you, you start to experience those same symptoms, you need to stop, right? Your position size is probably too big. And so that's why I would say start small with those position sizes and then get larger and larger and larger over time. I mean, when I was first trading, it was my position sizes were incredibly small because of my account size being small, but that was a lot of money to me back then. I remember making a trade when I was a waiter and making $30 on a lunch shift was really big. And the trade was a $30 trade. And, I remember just being so nervous, like, I really hope this, you know, goes because of how much that mattered to me, but still being willing to do it. Cause I'd had so much time and experience with that setup that I believed it was going to work out.
Mm. Good advice there. So position sizing is very much the link to the emotions here. So you go from risk-free, as it were, paper trading into small positions and scale up, as it were.
There you go. Yep. There
okay.
You go.
And then would you, if you're just starting out, do you suggest people start paper trading stocks first or paper trading options first?
A great question. I always recommend stocks because the stocks are the underlying to the option. And so if you can understand how a stock moves, well, then the option is really just a proxy for that primarily. And so if you can understand how a stock moves, then at that point, you just need to understand how option contracts work. But yeah, to trade options without a larger knowledge of the underlying stock, I think is pretty tough.
So when people start paper trading, are you generally sharing your experiences with paper trading in terms of day trading or you're looking at longer term positions? What did you get into when you started paper trading? What were the kind of positions? Were they short or long-term trades?
When I first started, they were long-term trades. And then as time went by, I mean, every single different type of trading. So what I would say is, for me, as I develop skills as a basketball player, I would never, let's say I wanted to do a turnaround fallaway shot from the post, I never shot that shot for the first time in a game. Never. Right. I practiced that shot in practice multiple times until I felt really comfortable with it. Understand the time to use it, the scenario to use it. And then when those things aligned, you know, I tried that shot in the game once I made it 100 times or 1,000 times in practice. I would say whether it be long-term trading, swing trading, or day trading, you know, that same practice and paper trading needs to be put in place and practiced in all those ways until you have a confidence going into it of saying the only difference between this and what I've done 1,000 times is that real money's on the line. And that I think gives you a confidence. Back to your, you know, earliest point, we were talking about this is the value of the journey. Is I think confidence comes as the value of the journey and the experience. And that confidence I have found in my life and in my trading to be the most priceless thing that has come about because of it.
I always tell my kids, I'm teaching my daughters to cook. And I always say, if you want to try a new recipe, don't try it when you're having a dinner party. Always. There's that scene in Bridget Jones' Diary when she does I think it's like chicken in blue string with oranges or something, and the whole chicken goes blue. Like, yes. You know, right. Say, what are the three, you mentioned there, Robert Kiyosaki's book. What other, say three books would you put at the top of your list for anyone that's, you know, just starting trading or just getting into it? What are your three favorite books that you would suggest?
Three books I would give to people, and again, I have them right here on my shelf because I you know, think it's always important to go back. One is called Technical Analysis of Markets by John Murphy. Again, just helps people understand that so many times we can get into the story of a stock in terms of what's moving it or why it's moving. And the reality is that that doesn't always matter. I mean, to be fair, look at our stock market right now, right? Right. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We got record unemployment. We have planes grounded, like, and yet the NASDAQ is making all-time highs, right? There's this huge disconnect between what should happen and what is happening. And that's why I always recommend technical analysis of markets, because at the end of the day, you can't fight the tape. Like, you just have to trade with the trend. Whatever the tape is telling you, that's what you trade. You can essentially, buy, close your, nose and buy, because it might not make sense fundamentally, but technically, if the chart's telling you to buy, you need to buy. It's telling you to sell, you need to sell. And the rest, may not matter. So I always tell people to start off with that. Technical analysis of markets is really important. I'm not saying fundamentals don't matter. I'm just saying that I think tape is preeminent, trading the tape. Second thing would be Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. He does a great job of talking about the psychology around trading, right? I find most traders, here's the interesting thing about traders. I'm gonna use a big word, then I'll describe it. We are psychosomatic beings, right? There is three parts to us. It is our head that thinks, it is our emotions that feel, and it's our body that, acts or executes. And you could have all the mental knowledge you want and the ability to place trades, but emotionally, you could derail your trading even though you have the knowledge and the ability to execute. And we have to trade as a whole person, an entire psychosomatic being. And therefore getting that emotional side in check is vital to success. I think Mark Douglas does a great job in Trading in the Zone, talking about how to approach that, how to do that. So that would be one. And then the third one I really like, I just think he's a great trader, Mastering the Trade by John Carter, particularly the latest edition, the third edition. He just gives some great insights into chart setups and to takes that technical analysis a step further in terms of things to look for. And I just think he's a fantastic trader and makes it pretty simple, has some good stories in there. And that's a good book for folks that want to get into getting started.
Great. Some amazing tips there, Ben, to take you from starting out trading through your paper trades and really giving some of that foundational confidence. Because I think sometimes we see great traders like you, Kyle Dennis, Nate Baer, Jeff Bishop, and looking from the outside looks fantastic in the way these traders make money. But to understand how to actually get that basis of education yourself is a really powerful thing.
Well, I think it's vitally important, David, vitally important. I think so many folks want, they see the glitz and the glamour, the money or the gains, and they don't understand the path to get there. And that path is so vital because it both gives you the knowledge and the skill, but also kind of tempers your emotion. And I think above all things gives you a confidence to be able to trade with, not just in your accounts, but really in life.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for your time today, Ben. Always good to chat, and I look forward to catching up with you shortly.
My pleasure, David, as always. Thank you. Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast to discover more episodes, to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also, remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.